And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Today is Friday. That means any topic you want to talk about is grist for the mill. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on the Awakening American Family Radio Network. And we're so grateful to God and grateful to you for your support and for your prayers and for your contributions to all the various projects that we do and to helping make our network work. Thank you very much. Hey, don't forget that you can check us out on podcasts. You, family members, friends, colleagues, neighbors, anybody you want to have check out the programming who may not be in a position to hear a particular program on a given day, just tell them go to AFR.net, tune in, and they can, well, tune in. They can take their cursor, right? Let me bring my language here into the 21st century. They can take their cursor, click on the various programs that they want to listen to, and I hope you'll check out The Awakening. I hope you'll recommend that to them. They can check out the programming and listen to a program in part, in full, any portion that they want to listen to. It's all right there on AFR.net. Folks, what in the world is happening with our beloved country? What is going on? We are in a very, very deep spiritual decline, folks. And those of us who are holding the line really need divine intervention. We really do, because these folks are going, when I say these folks, these so-called influencers of the culture, these people who consider themselves the elites, these people who know better than everyone else, have just gone stark raving mad. And their disdain for those of us who are holding fast to traditional biblical Christian, Judeo-Christian moral values, vision, they absolutely disdain us. I mean, they just think that we are the scum of the earth, and it comes out. There's a clip I wanted to hear you, I wanted to have you listen to, of Nancy Pelosi criticizing the president. And she said she's dropped a number of bombshells this week. But this is just one I want you to listen to, and particularly what she says at the very end of her comments as to what she thinks President Trump means. Take a listen to this.
That is a nation, a model, a beacon of hope to the world, and he devalues that. So again, we don't agonize, we organize, and we do so in a way that again is unifying for a country. It is absolutely imperative. Civilization as we know it today is at stake in the next election, and certainly our planet.
Civilization as we know it is at stake, and our planet? Somebody get a rubber room for this woman. Folks, it is so over the top. Civilization as we know it is at stake, and our planet? Now, and look, I'm going to start taking your calls on the next, right after this first break, which is a fairly short one, right after this first segment, which is a fairly short one. I want to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. Nancy Pelosi was also challenged by a reporter who said, "Do you hate President Trump?" And she got very, very upset about that, turned around and said, "Don't even use that word in a sentence when you're talking to me. I'm a Catholic, and I was raised Catholic, and we don't hate anybody." Well, you know what, Nancy? You certainly could have fooled us. During that comment, she also said, "I pray for the president. I pray for him every day." Now, folks, I am very, very reluctant to call people liars, and I'm not going to call her a liar, but I will say this. I am firmly convinced that she told a bold-faced lie. I don't believe that for a moment. I really don't. I don't believe it for a moment, because I tell you something. When you really sincerely pray for people, it softens your heart toward them in terms of them as an individual. It's like I told you all, I can say sincerely, I never hated President Obama. I mean, I did hate the policies he was implementing, but I never hated him as a person. I didn't want to see him destroyed. I didn't want to see his family dragged through the mud. I didn't want to see horrible things happen to him. I didn't want him to die. I didn't want him to become ill. I simply wanted him to have a change of heart, wanted his policies in our country and toward our country and his attitude toward our country to change. And yes, I did want to see him defeated at the ballot box. That didn't happen the second election he ran for president, second time he ran for president. But I certainly prayed for that and wanted that and worked for that. But I didn't. What's being done to President Trump is so far beyond anything I could have ever imagined doing to President Obama, who, as far as I'm concerned, frankly, I said many times, you know, people said that the birther movement was a racism. It wasn't. The birther movement gained traction because President Obama acted toward our country like he was a foreigner, like he was on the outside looking in. Now, let's just be honest and objective about it. He would go to foreign countries and complain about America and say what America wasn't, what America hadn't done, and what America wasn't doing. And he never, not one time, once, and I used to listen to him a lot. I didn't like having to listen to him, but I did, because I wanted to hear what he was saying. I never heard him once express affection, love, any patriotic sentiment toward our country at all. At all. Remember, he didn't want to wear the flag lapel pin when he was running for president, and that caused so much of a stir that he finally put one on. But his initial explanation, that's not the kind of patriotism I believe in. In other words, he really just didn't have any affection for the flag, and he didn't like it as a symbol and didn't want to wear it. That's why the birther movement gained traction. Now, I never believed that President Obama was born outside the country. I believed he was born here. But I understood why people... They were trying to find an explanation for how this American could be so anti-American. But you know what? With all that, folks, I never hated him. I still don't. Thought he did a great disservice to this country. I believe the country is still suffering from the seeds that Barack Obama sowed in many ways. And he didn't start this stuff, but I think he certainly accelerated it. And he didn't plant the first crops that are leading us into this sort of socialist, secularist, atheist mindset that has captured so many of our people. But he certainly got in there and got plenty of seed and kept sowing it, and perhaps in a way that nobody else could, because he was the first president of the United States who, in my view, was just a straight-up Marxist. I just really believe that. Now, you know, he's making noises like he's kind of backed off that now, but I guess... You know, when you're worth $100 million in this country that you kind of loathe or don't have much affection for, it can perhaps make you slow your roll, I guess, make you slow your roll in terms of, you know, radicalism. Because after all, I got some money now. I don't want to run the risk of having people take that away. I don't know what the reasoning is, but he's now trying to sound more moderate. There's not a moderate bone in his body. This man was trained by Saul Alinsky and Bill Ayers and Frank Marshall Davis and you name it. Some of the most radical people you ever want to hear about on the American political scene. With all that being said, I never hated the man. Nancy Pelosi is not praying for President Trump. She's working toward his total destruction. I want to hear what you all think about what's going on in our country and any other thoughts you have. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
What is the American creed? That is a question David Glertner asks in his book, America Light. He has been on my radio program to talk about his book and his op-ed that appeared in the Wall Street Journal. is a fascinating individual. He received 2 degrees in classical Hebrew literature, but then became a professor of computer science at Yale University. Some have called him a rock star in the world of computing. You might remember that he was one of the people who was critically injured when he opened a mail bomb sent by the Unabomber. He believes that we need to return to the principles that made this country great. Unfortunately, he says, many of us don't know what they are or think they can't work. He blames the public schools and the academy for this failure to pass on the basic ideals that have served America so well for centuries. He laments that almost no one believes that our public schools are doing a passable job of teaching American and Western civilization. Textbooks and class lectures in our education system today often start with the assumption that America and Western ideals are bad for civilization. He concludes that many American children have never heard a good word for the United States, the West, Judaism, or Christianity their whole lives. He also laments that our American culture is in the hands of intellectuals, which he says are usually people born with high IQ and low common sense. He gives lots of examples of this. You can probably think of many other examples of people who are very bright but lacking in basic common sense. America's creed is quite simple: freedom, equality, democracy, and America as the promised land. The early founders believed in America as a city on a hill, as did many presidents right up to President Reagan. It is time to use our American creed to evaluate those who are teaching our kids and those who are leading our nation. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. It's Free for All Friday on Focal Point. We'll open up the phone lines today and hear from you on two questions. Will the impeachment of Donald Trump hurt or help the Democrats, and why? And what do you think Chick-fil-A needs to do at this point to make things right with their previously loyal customer base and, more importantly, with God? Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And the number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to come to your calls this segment, so just stand by for a second. Have you been watching this news about Lisa Page? I mean, she's now coming out attacking the President of the United States. And once again, folks, I have to give Chris Plant credit. Chris Plant is another talk show host. I don't know whether he's still on the air or not, but he's the one who apparently coined the phrase, if liberals didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. I cannot believe that Lisa Page has the unmitigated gall, after the things that she said in texts with her adulterous boyfriend, Peter Strzok, that she's actually got the nerve to come out and say she's disappointed in the DOJ and the FBI, that they've lost their way. She was in the FBI texting back and forth with her boyfriend about how she was going to undermine, how they were going to undermine a president if he managed to get elected. They were going to have an insurance policy to make sure he got driven from office because he's awful. He's a terrible human. In other words, it doesn't matter what the American people think. It doesn't matter what the American people vote. We, the elites in the FBI, are going to decide who can be president, and we've decided that he is not qualified. And here she is having an adulterous relationship. And look, folks, I don't believe in pointing my finger at people and condemning them, but I'm pointing this out simply because They've all told Christians, I've heard it said to me, how can you as a Christian support Donald Trump when he had a relationship and he said something and blah, 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 blah. Look, first of all, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why I don't go around condemning people. But when you start pointing the finger at somebody else, how bad they are, and this was, by the way, now 14, 15 years ago, this recording that they had of him engaging in some ugly locker room talk, and it wasn't good, and I don't support it, obviously. I wouldn't talk like that. I mean, it certainly haven't talked like that since I became a Christian. Let's put it that way, shall we? Full disclaimer, haven't talked that way since I became a Christian. I'm not going to go into how I might have talked before I became a Christian. But, folks, it was 15 years ago, and they defend Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton was having trysts in the White House. So, I mean, the double standard is unbelievable. And she's got the nerve to be saying, the FBI and the DOJ, I'm so disappointed how they've lost their way. You were part of the problem. You know, you're inside you're inside the Department of Justice, the FBI, which, of course, is under the Department of Justice, and you're plotting how to overthrow a president. And you're disappointed that they've lost their way? Oh, my God. You know, where is the respect for the Constitution and the rule of law and the processes whereby we choose our leaders and some deference that is owed to the American people when they've made a decision? I didn't like the election of Barack Obama, but the people voted for him. I couldn't figure out why. I mean, partly because, well, he's the first black president. Let's give him a break. Partly because they did such a tremendous job of organizing, partly because the Republicans didn't have good candidates to put up against him. Frankly, they had very poor candidates to put up against him, to be very honest. That includes John McCain and Mitt Romney. Neither one of them were anything to write home about. So for a whole variety of reasons. But once the decision was made, I didn't question whether the man was legitimately elected to office. I just questioned the things that he did, the policies he was trying to implement. Wow, I'm not a perfect human being. I'm not trying to lift myself up as some kind of icon of political integrity and stature. And I'm not trying to do that. But I mean, to me, it's just pretty basic, isn't it? I mean, we live in a constitutional republic. When an election is decided, the opposition opposes on the basis of policy and then tries to win the next election. That's the way it works. Well, no, not for these. A friend of mine is going to calling this impeachment process Stalinist show trials. Not for them, not for these leftists. They apparently don't respect anything. And Nancy Pelosi's got the nerve to be citing the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. You know, she actually compared Donald Trump to King George and said, you know, it's like the founding fathers having to break the bonds of that we've once had with. I mean, it's like these people are unhinged, folks. They are unhinged. Now, look, I didn't like President Barack Obama's policies. I didn't know him personally, so when I say I didn't like him, I didn't like him because of the things he stood for. But I don't think anybody ever accused me of just being crazy, of just kind of, man, you know, you're kind of going overboard. Because to me, it was all about the things that he was doing that I thought were wrong for the country. And I think, frankly, it's been proved that they're wrong for the country. By the way, one other quick thing. Oh, my goodness. One other quick thing. President Trump is destroying civilization. 266,000 jobs created last month. 266,000 jobs created last month. But President Trump is destroying the country. Ah, come on. I'm trying to bring this piece up that I just want to cite real quick and then come right to your calls. And it's not cooperating. Here we go. All right. 266,000 jobs created last month. Look, 906,000 more people employed in September. Wow. The labor participation rate rose from 62% to 63% exceeding 63% for the first time in 42 months. Look at this. What they call the U6 unemployment rate, because it's presumably measures the real unemployment rate because it counts people as unemployed for a year after they've given up their job search. That is at the lowest level since 2007, since Barack Obama basically got elected. Well, he got elected in 2008, but essentially since the big recession hit of 2008. And on and on and on it goes. On and on and on it goes. And this is destroying civilization. Average hourly wages have grown 2.9% over the last 12 months. 12 months, folks, 2.9% over the last 12 months. In September alone, the number of people working full-time increased by 935,000 people. Wow. Wow. Look, since January, the number of people working full-time has increased by 2 million. 2 million people. This is destroying civilization. How many records has the stock market reached and surpassed? Folks, this is why you have to use words like insane. Because the facts tell you what the man is doing. He's got European countries contributing more to NATO. The economy is great, and they said, "Oh, these trade wars are going to destroy the economy." The man is negotiating. That's why I say I tend to defer to him on issues like that, because the man has proved himself over a lifetime to be a master negotiator. And look, the economy is still booming. His negotiations with China and other countries have not hurt us at all. Not the overall economy. I know there may be some segments that may be feeling a pinch here and there. I know farmers were concerned, but I'm not hearing much from them right now. So folks, I mean, really, these folks need to get a clue. Let me come right to your calls, because I don't want to run out of time before at least getting one of your calls in, because I promised you I'd start the segment. Let's go to Jim in Mississippi. Jim, you're on. Welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to spin off of the speech that she gave, Nancy Pelosi gave yesterday, referencing the Declaration of Independence. She referenced the very first sentence.
Yes.
And I have really been longing to hear a Christian conservative constitutional talking head reference it. But when you hear a Democrat reference it, it's almost a perversion, because we all know that they uphold same-sex marriage, abortion, the yep. removal of all of our traditional religious vestiges out of the public square. But
yep.
that is what I think that Christian conservatives need to be referencing in relation to the Democratic Party. They are the ones who we need to dissolve the political bands from, because they have become universally destructive.
Amen. Well, listen, you could not have said it better, Jim. I have been saying this for many, many years. In fact, I refer you all, if you go on YouTube, go to my channel. I think it's E.W. Jackson Sr. I think that's the name of the channel. But you Google me. You do a search on E.W. Jackson. Look up Exodus Now, and you will see one of the most watched videos at that time. I mean, overall, I think YouTube listed at 1.2 or 3 million, but overall, it got well over 2 million hits in a whole variety of venues, where I was calling black Christians out of the Democrat Party. Now, I did one where I called all Christians out of the Democrat Party, but I did one especially speaking to black Christians. Jim, what can I say but amen? We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
A man in the Old West was being tried for stealing a horse. You need to remember now that stealing a horse in the Old West was a very grave and serious offense. A person could be hung if found guilty of such a deed. It so happened that the man was accused of stealing a horse from another man in that town whom no one liked. The man whose horse had been stolen had always made it a point to get the best of any person with whom he had any dealings. He had never tried to do anything good for anyone other than himself. Consequently, the man whose horse had been stolen didn't have a single friend in the entire community. Well, the case was tried and presented to the jury. The evidence against the accused man was pretty strong. After about 30 minutes of deliberation, the jury returned to the court chambers. "Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?" the judge asked. The chairman of the jury stood up. "Yes, we have, Your Honor," he replied. "What is your verdict?" inquired the judge. There were a few moments of silence, and then the chairman spoke. "We find the defendant not guilty if he will return the horse." Well, after the judge had silenced the laughter in the courtroom, he admonished the jury. "I cannot accept that verdict. You will have to retire until you reach another verdict," said the judge. So the jury went back into their room to deliberate toward another verdict. Now, no member of the jury had any particular liking for the man whose horse had been stolen. At one time or another, he had gotten the best of each of them. About an hour passed before the jury could reach another verdict. They re-entered the courtroom. They took their place in the jury box, and the courtroom grew silent. "Gentlemen of the jury," began the judge, "have you reached a verdict?" Well, the chairman of the jury stood up. "Yes, we have, Your Honor," he replied. "What is your verdict?" asked the judge. You could have heard a pin drop. Everyone eagerly awaited the verdict. The chairman read the decision by the 12 good men tried and true. "We find the defendant not guilty, and he can keep the horse." The courtroom burst into laughter. Well, I guess the moral of the story is that it pays to be interested in people other than yourself. If you spend your life trying to take advantage of others, never caring about them in any way except what you can get from them or what they can do for you, you will end up a loser like the man who lost his horse. If you desire a friend, then you had better be a friend. If you desire for other people to help you, then you had better help other people. If you desire justice at the hands of others, then you had better practice justice toward them. Regardless of what you may think, the old biblical admonition is true. We do reap what we sow.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. You all have been waiting patiently. The number is 888-589-8840. So let's come right to your calls. John in Kansas. John, welcome. You're on.
Bishop, I wanted to say, first of all, may the good Lord bless you and your family and all you do. It's so pleasant and peaceful to hear somebody honestly speaking the truth about whatever is going on in the world and with the culture. I've got a symbol that I'm a truck driver. I got a symbol that I carry on my truck, very visible and everything. I'd like to have your opinion on it. Is I'm kneeling at the cross, which I will kneel at the cross any time. I will bend the knee, but I above the cross I have three words written: faith, freedom, and family. And I lean on an AR-15.
Okay. All right, John. Well, listen, thank you for the call. And look, John, I subscribe to that completely. Obviously, we know, you know, it's interesting, folks. And you all forgive me because I want to come right to Michelle. So just stand by for a second, Michelle. But it's interesting. I had a dream last night. I had a very vivid dream last night. Don't ask me where this came from. I have no idea. I was in New York on a subway train. And I haven't ridden the subway train in New York for probably, oh my goodness, not probably since I was a kid or maybe a very young adult, maybe in my 20s or something. My sister used to live there and I would visit with her from time to time. Some guys came on the train with guns. And I realized I was in New York and I could not have a firearm with me. I mean, you know, in the dream, I'm aware of this. And one of the guys points a gun at me and it looks like it might be an AR. I'm not sure of that. And when he does, I just went, in the name of Jesus, you will not harm anybody. And I just began to cry in the name of Jesus, put those guns down in the name of Jesus. And folks, as I said that, they just looked at me in shock and dropped their guns. And, you know, I thought to myself, Lord, thank you for that dream, because you know what it's a reminder of? It's a reminder of there are ultimate securities in Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, we have a fundamental human right to defend ourselves. Had I not been in New York, I would have undoubtedly would have been armed. And we have an absolute human right to defend ourselves. And so it's not that we want to hurt people. It's not that we want to do violence. Not at all. And folks, nothing could be further from the truth for law-abiding citizens. It's just that we want to be in a position to defend those whom we love and defend ourselves and defend our lives. So, yeah, look, I'm with you. I think leftist people don't understand it, but I'm with you 100%. Let's go right to Michelle. Michelle, welcome. Michelle in Texas.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Jackson. It's just, I find it amazing that Nancy Pelosi can say, don't talk to me about hate. I'm Catholic. I was raised in a house with love. But of all the things she does, she supports outright murder.
Yep.
In the Bible, it says, you shall not murder. I know that even the Catholic people, even the Catholic religion, does not support abortion. She supports full-term abortion.
Well, look, full-term abortion, support same-sex marriage. I mean, they have absolutely no moral standards whatsoever about anything other than climate change, frankly. And that's really about it. That's the crisis of the age, you know. So you're right. This stuff is so hypocritical that it just defies explanation. And then she quoted the first. Let me go to another call, and then I'm going to read this first line of the Declaration of Independence as soon as I get a chance, because she applies this to President Trump, which is not only just off from a constitutional perspective, but stupid. I mean, it says to me, you don't understand the Declaration if you're applying this to President Trump. But thank you for the call, Michelle. Let's go to David in Texas. David, you're on. Welcome.
Hey, yes, sir. Just wanted to say, first off, appreciate everything you're doing. Love your show. Love your point of view. Common sense. Great. Second thing, just a question. Shouldn't this whole impeachment thing be based on facts? I mean, doesn't that kind of what it boils down to? I mean, the fact, you know, I mean, the facts are truth, honestly, you know.
You know, David, the founding fathers never in their wildest dreams contemplated using the impeachment clause to get rid of a president because you don't like him or because you don't like his policies. It was intended to be used for the most egregious types of things, where a president is engaged in unlawfulness, right? High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes meaning very, very serious things. You're not going to impeach a president because he jaywalked. You're not going to impeach a president because he didn't pay his parking tickets one time. I mean, you're going to impeach a president because he's done something so serious that it threatens our constitutional republic. And, you know, I think you could argue about Nixon, but clearly Nixon participated in a cover-up of actual break-ins. That's a crime. That's a felony. That's an entirely different matter. And we know that Bill Clinton actually lied under oath. That's perjury. That's a crime. That's a felony. People actually go to jail for that. Where's the crime here? Where's the threat to the Constitutional Republic here? Oh, some conversation in which the president said, get to the bottom of corruption. I mean, it's You're right, David. But look, let's face it. The left has long ago forgotten about facts and truth as any part of what they do. That's not, look, when if they can find any facts that work for them, then they'll use them. And if they don't, they ignore them, lie about them, change them. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. So and frankly, that makes it very, very difficult. But thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Carolyn, also in Texas. I'm getting a lot of Texas folks today. Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. What could we do to get all the Christians in the United States, kind of like the National Day of Prayer, together to pray for what's going on in Washington, maybe a day of prayer and fasting?
Well, Carolyn, I'll tell you, it's needed, isn't it? It's needed. I will say this, because that's a big undertaking, too, and I've seen a couple people try it with mixed success. It's something you have to start a year in advance, and it takes a lot of money to pull it together and a lot of faith and a lot of cooperation. What my organization is doing come January, we're starting a weekly prayer calling it Stand in Prayer for America at 12 noon on a conference call. And what we are hoping is that other things will grow out of that. But look, you're absolutely right. Our founding fathers, the early presidents, would actually call for a day of prayer and fasting and humiliation. I mean, nowadays, the ACLU would be pulling their hair out and rushing into federal court saying that a president can't do that. He's violating separation of church and state. But what they really mean is he's violating our godless, atheistic mindset, and we don't like it. And so we're going to try to put a stop to it and put a constitutional veneer on it. But I've always said, how in the world can it be unconstitutional to pray in a country in which the Constitution itself was birthed in prayer, called for by Benjamin Franklin? I mean, now, how stupid can you get to believe that? I mean, a country birthed in prayer, but prayer is somehow illegal. I mean, that's just, it's just nuts. But Carolyn, thank you for the call. Let's go to Teddy, also in Texas. Teddy, welcome.
Yes, sir, Bishop. I recently learned of your show, and I used to work in prison, and I had some demon-possessed men in there, and once you learn their way of thinking, there is no crime that they can't justify, and the Democratic Party has become that party. They are the party of the devil, and we all need to stand in prayer for the spiritual battle that's being waged in our country, because it tells us plainly in the Bible we're supposed to pray that way. And it's that point, and Nancy Pelosi is definitely demon-possessed. For anybody that could advocate murder of a full-term baby, I don't know any other way to express it.
Wow, Teddy, you've really said a mouthful, and I know anybody who's, because you know the left monitors this show, and they probably hear that, you know, that Nancy Pelosi is demon possessed. They've jumped on me for saying such things. When we come back, I want to amplify what Teddy has said, because I think he's hit the nail on the head. But let me explain it so that everybody understands we're well within biblical guidelines to say that. Back in a moment.
Well, one of the most important things is to realize that you really are the doorway to God, because you're her first introduction to healthy masculinity.
Dad, you are a role model for your daughter. Here's Dr. Meg Meeker explaining on Focus on the Family Minute.
Mom can't introduce her to manhood, but you do. Huh. And so right from the time she's young, you sort of set a template for what she should expect from men, how they listen, how they talk, how they hug. Are they affectionate? Are they trustworthy? So first of all, you have to prove to your daughter that she can trust you and that you're a good guy. And then if she's willing to accept who you are, she'll open her heart to understanding who God the Father is. And I can't stress how important it is, because I've met so many adult women who won't draw close to Christ because he's a man. Huh. And they have a bad experience with a man.
Recognize your influence, Dad. More at FamilyMinute.org.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
The broadcast ministry American Family Radio provides Christian teaching and commentary 365 days a year on over 180 radio stations. This is Walker Wildman, Vice President of Operations for American Family Association. By supporting AFA, you are supporting our broadcast ministry and helping to keep Christians informed across America. Please consider a tax-deductible gift to AFA as 2019 draws to a close. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
More online at afr.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was finishing undergrad and got credit cards because I couldn't work full-time. So that started the credit card journey for me.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
And then when I got married, we combined our credit card debt and it became impossible to pay off on our own. At that point, I was like, I don't know where to turn. And then I found Trinity.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief. I mean, in a matter of 3 years, we've already paid down $20,000 in credit card debt, which is huge.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. I'll tell you what, I must have struck a nerve in Texas because we've got a lot of Texas folks who definitely want to talk about Nancy Pelosi. Well, I guess she's trying to send some people from California down into Texas. I think she's trying to dilute the conservative culture in Texas. But I'll come right to your calls again in a moment. But let me share something else that Nancy Pelosi did. She stood up on stage and she quoted the first line of the Declaration of Independence, which says, "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another." Now, she quoted that line. And I said, it's not only constitutionally inappropriate to use that line, say, but it's stupid because it suggests that you don't know what that means. What the founding fathers were saying is, up until that point, they considered themselves to be British citizens, and they considered America to be a colony of the British. And what they were saying is, we are no longer going to be British. We are no longer going to be citizens or subjects to the crown. That's what they were saying. And for her to use this in a dispute with a legitimately elected president of the United States shows a level of ignorance that is unfathomable. I mean, it's unfathomable. It doesn't apply at all in any way. But I think it's just Nancy Pelosi trying to take some sort of lofty position and trying to be above the fray and show how intellectual she is and how profoundly she's thought through this issue. And all she revealed is how really dumb she is. And folks, I'm reluctant to say that about people, but when you do something that stupid and then use it to try to attack the president, oh my goodness, that's, folks, that is really one for the ages. It really is. Okay, let's come right back to your calls. Let's go to Eric in Texas. Eric, welcome.
How you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm doing fair. I can't complain. Sun's up and sky's blue.
Amen. Okay. I bet you, I guarantee you're doing better than you even just suggested, but go ahead, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I heard you earlier mention about the finances and the economy and all that stuff. I listened to two independent financial experts, Peter Schiff and David Stockman, and they're the ones that will tell you straight out what's really going on. They brought up the fact that in a poll that was done that over half the country lives paycheck to paycheck. If that's the case, we don't have a great economy going on right now. We have an economy that's so-so. Could you explain that? And also, sir, I was wondering, because my late stepfather was a meat cutter and a manager at a grocery store, and this is back in 77. He was making real good money, which was $17.65 an hour. That job today for my next-door neighbor, he's doing the same job, and he's making $18.50 an hour. I was just wondering, what's the difference between 77 and 2019?
Okay, well, I appreciate the question, Eric. You asked me where I get the data. I got the data from The Hill, which, as you know, is not a conservative rag by any stretch of the imagination. Now, it was a commentary on The Hill, but they don't go into let's put it this way. The Hill is not conservative. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, you said, you know, half the people in the country live from paycheck to paycheck. I don't know that that's true. I'll take your word for it and suggest the following. You know, one of the problems that we have in America has nothing to do with the president of the United States. You know what it has to do with? It has to do with Americans don't really save very much. Now, that's just a fact. We're not big savers. You know, Japanese culture is a saving culture. They save. It's just kind of bred into them. Americans are a spending culture. And I think we've really got to do better at saving. But I don't think that's a matter of us just living hand to mouth. I think that's a matter of Americans like our stuff. You know, so I'm not going to blame the president for that one. Look, when unemployment is down, when earnings are up, when job participation rates are up, when you've got the stock market up, when you've got manufacturing jobs up, and we were told by the former administration that, well, we just have to realize that manufacturing is over in America, and we've got manufacturing jobs coming back in the country, I don't know how you argue that that's not a good economy, because, you know, half the people, as you say, are living paycheck to paycheck. I guess what you mean is half the people are not wealthy enough that if they lost their jobs, they wouldn't begin to have financial problems. Well, I mean, that's probably going to be most people unless and until they hit the millionaire status, or, you know, they've got so much money that, and even as a millionaire, if you say you have $1 million today, you can't stop working. If you're young, you can't stop working with $1 million. So let's not blame President Trump for some of the things that are sort of intrinsic to our economy and are kind of baked into the cake in terms of the culture of our country. But I do think there's some things that we as individuals and families can do better with saving, with investing, and so forth. Everybody I talk to, everything I read, suggests this economy is without question booming. And so I don't think there's any denying that. But thanks for the call, Eric. We appreciate it. Let's go to Dan in Ohio. Dan, welcome.
Hey, my brother from a different mother.
Amen.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. Blessed. How are you?
Me too.
Praise God.
More than I need to be. I'd like to share a psalm with the listeners. And it's Psalm 50, verses 16 through 22. And when I heard Nancy Pelosi up on that stage yesterday, I was ready to throw up. She's sickening. And their whole mindset's sickening. But if the readers want to read that, it's when I read that, when the Spirit brought me to that, I went, whoa.
Well, do you have any of it in front of you?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Well, just share a few verses with us. You're on the air. Let's let everybody hear it.
Okay, I'm not good at public speaking, but it says verse 16, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction. You cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil. and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you, accuse you to your face. Consider this, you forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that says it all. Thank you. I appreciate that call, Dan. God bless you. And I appreciate that scripture. Man, that's powerful. Okay, let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Todd, you're on. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, brother. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
I've been on this earth 51 years, and the Bible is about facts. Now, people say it's fiction. Okay, so if you say it's fiction, let's read Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says, he made them male and female. Now, you can look around the earth. I see male and female all the time. Now, the fact of the matter is that the homosexual community are confused. And we can't change their minds. They're confused. Now, brother, all I want to tell you is we need to spread the gospel. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you, brother. Thank you.
Amen. Well, Todd, you are absolutely right. We are in widespread confusion in our country because people have rejected God and they've rejected his word. And that's what allows people like Nancy Pelosi and Pete Buttigieg to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, I pray for this, I do that, when we know they don't have a clue. You know, Jesus said that many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. These people have no relationship with God, because when Pete Buttigieg stood up on that stage and kissed his so-called husband, which there's no such thing as a man having a husband. I mean, just think about that. It's just to hear that, just is just disgusting. A man with a husband. Ugh. But he stood up in the stage. It wasn't enough for him to have this private lifestyle that he's chosen. He's got to display it for the world and stand up on the stage as he prepares to run for president and kiss another man. That's confusion. That's all that is. And then claim, this is the will of God. This is what God wants. I mean, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. So you are absolutely right. It is confusion in the nth degree. Well, folks, I don't have much time, but you know what, Gary? I think we've got time to get you on. Welcome, Gary. You get the last word.
All righty. How you doing? I'm from Texas. I want to speak about Nancy saying she's a Catholic. Well, why didn't she oppose Obama when he went after the nuns, the sisters, the nuns, the covenant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if she's such a good Catholic, why is she for abortion?
The little sisters of the poor who didn't want to provide abortion services in their health plan, and Obama sued them to try to force them to do it. You're right. Where was Nancy Pelosi then? Absolutely. Great point, Gary. Great point. You know, look, I don't think these people have any God but themselves. You know, they are living an idolatrous lifestyle, and their Trinity boils down to I, me, and my. That's their Trinity. But praise God for those of us who believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and are serious about Him. And see, you know, when I say I used to pray for Barack Obama, I mean that, folks. I would pray for the man to tears. But I don't believe Nancy Pelosi's ever prayed for President Donald Trump. And frankly, I don't even know what those prayers would look like. Nancy Pelosi? I don't think so. But in the meantime, remember, enjoy your weekend. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.